friends. Isn't it fascinating how relationships bring us immense joy, but also profound heartache? They're a dance of emotions, yet how often do we truly, deeply, consciously invest in the relationship we have with ourselves and loved ones? That investment, that time, and that energy is the most powerful gift you could ever bestow upon yourself and those you love. As life didn't give us a manual on handling emotions and communication challenges, we also weren't taught the art of building romantic ties or how to deeply love and value ourselves. But I'm here to share more life-affirming, relationship-enhancing wisdom with you all. And now you can also find this transformational content pouring onto Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. Dive into the show notes to connect with all the magic. Here's to growth, love, and endless learning.
Hi, I'm Nicola Beer, and I'm going to be talking today about self-abandonment. Experiencing abandonment in any form during childhood can deeply impact a person's sense of self, often leading to self-abandonment. When a child faces neglect, inconsistency, unpredictability, distance, lack of empathy, or rage from their parents, they may internalize these experiences, believing that it's their fault. This belief fosters a deep-rooted fear of abandonment and a profound lack of trust in others. Children in these situations learn to view humans as unsafe and relationships as unreliable, also believing that they're not good enough. At the core of this struggle is an inability to feel safe and to trust in the consistency of parental presence. The unpredictable nature of their care, the extreme highs and lows, the presence and the sudden absence, leaves the child in a constant state of uncertainty and fear. To cope with the fear of being abandoned by a parent, the child often unconsciously starts to abandon themselves. This process begins so early and becomes so ingrained that it can shape their entire personality, characterized by a persistent fear of others not being safe. In childhoods, the children's resources and coping strategies are primarily focused on self-protection. They might be constantly on the lookout for threats, hypervigilance, or may withdraw into themselves, shut down, or freeze mode. These trauma responses consume the energy and attention that would otherwise contribute to developing a healthy, whole sense of self. The child might suppress their needs, hide their true feelings, and adapt their behaviors to avoid further abandonment. This constant self-denial and suppression of the true identity of the child is the essence of self-abandonment, where we repress ourselves. Growing into adulthood, this fear of abandonment and mistrust of others remains deeply embedded. It becomes part of a person's identity, often without them fully realizing it. This state may manifest as compulsive behaviors that were originally developed in childhood for protection and avoidance of abandonment. These behaviors can continue to influence the individual's actions and relationships in adulthood. Today, we're going to explore the four most common self-abandonment patterns. These are compulsive shame, compulsive caretaking, compulsive numbing, and compulsive self-reliance. I will discuss these four main ones today with some tips to help you if you recognize yourself in these. As to heal from the wounds of abandonment, it's crucial to recognize and address these patterns of self-abandonment. While the fear of abandonment might never fully disappear, understanding it and learning how to cope with its triggers can gradually reduce its impact. The journey involves acknowledging the self-abandonment and actively working towards reclaiming and embracing one's true self, your beliefs and your needs that are right and true to you. This process is key to developing a sense of safety and trust in oneself and then in romantic relationships and in any relationship for that matter. So let's dive into number one, compulsive shame. This is one of the most common issues in dealing with abandonment wounds. This is a deep-seated feeling where you constantly believe that you're not good enough, unworthy, inherently bad, or unlovable. This belief often acts as a protective shield, guarding you against the potential pain of rejection or abandonment. It's like wearing a pair of sunglasses that distorts your view of the world, making you see yourself in a negative light in every situation. To start healing from the compulsive shame, it's important to confront and deal with the shame directly. This involves examining not just your thoughts and emotions, but also the physical manifestations of trauma and shame in the body. Your posture, the way you carry yourself, can be a reflection of these internal struggles. Trauma and shame often reside in the body, affecting how you present yourself to the world and interact with it. By addressing these aspects, you can begin to open up and find strength within yourself. Part of this healing journey includes leaning into the resilience you've already shown by making it this far. It's about recognizing your inner strength and capacity to overcome challenges, to work through your shame. It often helps to engage in identity work and boundary setting. This means exploring who you are and who you want to become, establishing limits with others, and learning to stand up for yourself, your needs, and your values. Moreover, self-actualization plays a crucial role. This involves pursuing activities and hobbies that resonate with you and allow you to grow. Such endeavors are not just pastimes. They are vital in building a sense of self from the inside out. This building process is something you might have missed out on earlier because your focus was so consumed by the fear of being abandoned. In doing so, you might have unintentionally abandoned yourself, too busy trying to please parents with our grades, extracurricular activities, or helping out our parents by being quiet, self-reliant, responsible, out of the way, or so focused on fitting in at school to be accepted or not to be bullied that we lost the essence of who we are, what makes us happy, and we repress ourselves. That self-repression can continue. However, by engaging in uplifting activities, you begin to fill those gaps, creating a stronger and more whole version of yourself, free from the chains of compulsive shame. Symptoms of shame are feeling unworthy, unlovable, boring, inadequate, where you develop negative beliefs about yourself. These negative beliefs often are a defense against the fear of rejection or abandonment. Emily always felt like she wasn't good enough, blaming herself for every setback. She avoided social situations, fearing judgment and rejection. Emily and I worked together on her sense of identity and clearing the feeling of not feeling good enough, attractive enough, interesting enough, smart enough. Then we found hobbies, which helped her to build a sense of self-worth from within. And she followed some 15-minute daily actions that I gave her to increase her self-esteem over a period of time. Soon, the new pattern enabled her to stop comparing herself to other women, to really value herself, which had a great impact in her relationships with others. If you can relate to having internal shame, start by writing a list today of all your strengths. List your top 5 achievements, and then list what qualities that you bring to a romantic relationship, what qualities you bring to friendships, and what you really like and admire and love about yourself. To help you with this, you want to check out my self-empowerment toolkit. It has a confidence meditation that installs self-love at the subconscious level, and it also has the strengths inventory and many other tools to help you really get rid of that. Another self-abandonment pattern is compulsive caretaking. This widespread behavior is where one constantly puts others' needs and desires ahead of their own. It manifests as people-pleasing, excessive fawning, or being overly focused on others. The motivation behind this compulsive behavior is multi-layered. Firstly, by meeting others' needs, you often receive some form of validation or appreciation in return, which feels rewarding. Secondly, and perhaps more significantly, focusing on others serves as a distraction from your own pain and the uncomfortable reality of self-abandonment. When you're always attending to someone else's needs, it's easy to lose sight of your own. This can lead to a pattern where you exceptionally are good at neglecting yourself, not even recognizing what your own needs are. The challenge here is to learn to say no and to discern when saying yes is genuinely helpful or simply a means of enabling others. This includes assessing whether your actions are truly supportive or just ways to avoid confronting your own issues. For example, you might find it difficult to establish boundaries, especially in familiar settings. Maybe you hesitate to assign chores to your children because you don't want to come across as harsh, like your own parents might have been. Whilst it's natural to want to be kinder and more understanding, there's a fine line between being supportive and taking on too much responsibility, thereby neglecting your own needs. The key is to shift the focus from constantly attending to what others need to understand and prioritizing your own needs. This is particularly challenging when you have young children or other demanding roles in life, as they naturally require a lot of attention and care. However, the issue often lies not in the lack of space for your own needs, but in not knowing what that space looks like or how to claim it. To work through compulsive caretaking, it is important to start recognizing and creating space for yourself. This might involve learning to identify your own needs, asking for help, or even demanding time and space for yourself. It's a process of understanding that taking care of yourself is not selfish, but essential, and that establishing healthy boundaries is beneficial for both you and those you care about. As you learn to balance caretaking with self-care, you begin to heal from the pattern of self-abandonment and move towards a more balanced and fulfilling life. John found himself always saying yes to others, neglecting his own needs. He feared that setting boundaries would lead to other people abandoning him, no longer being friends with him or interested in him. It caused a lot of stress in his relationship because he lent people money without speaking to his wife first. He put his parents' wishes before his immediate family, and his wife felt really unloved and irritated. John and I cleared his disease to please by improving his sense of self-worth. From this strong position of confidence and self-love, he was then able to start saying no to others. He was able to balance his caretaking with his own needs. He learned also to recognize that when he thought he was helping others, he was actually just enabling them and not helping them to grow, to learn, to stand on their own two feet. So either by yourself or with a friend or partner, answer these questions. Who do you need to say no to? What do you need to say yes to yourself to do? Who in your life drains your energy? What can you do to protect yourself from other energy drains? What lifts your spirit and energy? Also reflect on whether your actions are genuinely helpful to others, or a way to avoid facing your own needs and desires, or a way to get validation and to feel liked and wanted. For more tips like this, in my self-empowerment toolkit, I have more thorough exercises. So if you're really excited to work on yourself this year, then dive into that. I'll put a link along with the show notes. It's absolutely free, and it's got several modules to really help you come into your own. The third significant challenge in dealing with abandonment issues is a compulsive need to numb oneself. This often manifests through various forms of addiction and avoiding behaviors, such as substance abuse, binge-watching TV, engaging in other distractions like online shopping addiction, gambling, sleeping to avoid life. The root of this behavior lies in the discomfort and pain experienced in one's childhood, making it difficult to be at ease in their own skin. As a result, individuals might find themselves unable to relax or calm down without external aids that help them to turn down the volume of the inner turmoil. Lisa, who grew up in a household where her emotional needs were constantly ignored, found it difficult to be alone with her own thoughts. She hated her own company. She found it unbearable. Silence to her was overwhelming. It was filled with negative self-talk and memories of neglect. And other times, it was just this sense in her body that she was lonely and not comfortable without distractions. To avoid these feelings, Lisa turned into binge-watching TV shows and workaholism. She would work, and then to numb out after work, she would spend her entire weekend in front of a screen. It was her way of escaping the loneliness and the noise in her head. If you have compulsive numbing, which most of us do, I had a very traumatic childhood, and over the years, I found one numbing technique with another, from alcohol to food to excessive exercise, excessive working. I used to find it so hard to relax, to do nothing. I always had to be doing something all the time. And when I began my healing journey over 17 years ago now, a therapist asked me, "What are you avoiding, Nicola? If you were just to stop and not do anything, what would you feel?" And I felt, when she asked me that, overwhelmed with emotion. And I was surprised at my answer. And I said, I'm escaping, not feeling lovable. I feel no one's really ever going to love me. And I just don't believe that anyone's going to love me. I don't think I'm worthy of anyone loving me. And when I realized that, it was a profound moment. It was a signal that rather than doing all these harmful things to my body, by pushing myself at work, too hard at the gym, drinking too much, eating the wrong foods, or eating too much, even if it's the right foods, just stuffing myself, I needed to pause and work on deeply loving myself so that I could then attract the love in my life that I wanted. Real love, someone that sees me for me and is interested in me, my personality, my spirit, my energy, not just how I look. So I'm going to share some tips to overcome compulsive numbing. The first step is to recognize that numbing behavior is a coping mechanism for deeper issues. Last week, I worked with a lady who was sleeping most of the time. She had her own business online and she had two children. But apart from when the children got back from school and a couple of hours in the evening after they went to bed, she just slept. She slept from midnight all the way through till about 2 or 3 o'clock the next day, sleeping to avoid living. So the first step is understanding, how are you numbing yourself? Is it with TV, with a substance, with sleep, with shopping, with other people's issues? Then understand what triggers the need to numb. Is it silence, loneliness, or certain thoughts? Sometimes I work with people that are so uncomfortable being alone that they always need to talk to people. They need to be talking to someone on the phone. They need to be listening to TV, music, everything's going on at the same time. But understanding what triggers it can be helpful, as then you know what exactly to work on. Then find healthier ways to cope with these, such as engaging in physical activity, practicing mindfulness, or pursuing a hobby. And doing that in a careful way. And I say that just because having gone through cycles of excessive exercise, where I was exercising for hours and hours a day, never missed a day, sometimes that can even be a numbing tool. So making sure that there's balance, finding healthy ways to balance that. You can also find professional help in addressing the root cause of the behavior. Often people, until they come to my breakthrough program, don't realize what's underneath their numbing. They know that they're numbing, they're not sure what the triggers are or where it comes from. And gradually introducing yourself to silence, to peace, to relaxation, to being alone is the best way to go. Sometimes I work with people when they're so keen and they're like, right, I'm going to go and do Vipassana, which is 9 days of silence. And they'll just throw themselves in it. Or they'll say, right, for the whole weekend, I'm not going to do anything and I'm just going to be in silence and by myself. And, you know, throwing yourself in also isn't that loving. So here are some tips to help you. First, create a routine that includes activities promoting mental and physical well-being. Practice mindfulness or meditation. I have in the self-empowerment toolkit a free self-confidence meditation in there. There's also an instant calm meditation and various other tools to help you calm your thoughts and feelings. And then reach out to friends or to loved ones when feeling the urge to numb. Sometimes just talking to someone about it can provide the comfort needed to stop it. Also, journaling can really work for a lot of people. Journaling in your phone or on a traditional way, pen and paper, can really help people to feel their feelings, track their triggers and their progress. Lisa, for instance, started limiting her TV time and replacing it with walks in the park. She joined a local book club to fill her weekends with more engaging activities and slowly learned to appreciate moments of quiet. The breakthrough helped her to understand and process her childhood experiences, reducing the need to escape from her thoughts. By addressing the root cause and gradually replacing numbing behaviors with healthier coping mechanisms, individuals can start to heal from the pain of their childhood and learn to find comfort in their own company. And sometimes the pain doesn't always come from childhood. It can also come from other relationship traumas in early adulthood or even just in a past relationship. If you've been in a toxic relationship, these patterns can develop then also. The fourth self-abandonment pattern that can arise from abandonment wounds and earlier trauma is compulsive self-reliance. This is often found in individuals with an avoidant attachment style. Essentially, you become so adept at handling everything alone because you've had to in the past. Your form of self-abandonment is not being able to let others into your life, not being vulnerable with others. You feel safest and most in control when you're on your own. There is a deep-rooted fear associated with asking anyone for help, a fear with reaching out to others. It can feel so daunting and unsafe to depend on someone else, even in small ways. I can really relate to self-reliance. I find it so hard to ask for help. And even though I've done so much work and therapy on myself, it can still pop up for me today. It actually came up about 4 or 5 months ago, asking my man, the love of my life, if he could help me with my social media posts, doing the graphics and the design, because that's not my area of strength. And I wanted him to do it. I know that he would do an amazing job and he had a break in his work, but I just felt so scared. I was scared to be beholden to him. I was scared to give him that work. And then what if he disappointed me? What if he let me down? What if we had an argument and then I needed the work and I was in that difficult, unsafe position? What if he then had power over me? It's really crazy how this small thing was such a big deal for me. And I went back and forth over 3 or 4 days thinking, shall I ask him? And he was like, yeah, I'll do it. No problem. I'd love to help you. And then I was like, no, should I just pay someone? Because then if I pay someone, then I'm not going to be reliant on anyone and they're going to do the job. And it was just really eye-opening because I've done so much work on my abandonment wounds from my mother's abuse and my father leaving. I've done a lot of work on that. And I recognized in my therapy process, the breakthrough program that I now give for others, I had done on me over 18 years ago now. And I remember in those processes when it came up that I was so attached to my work and I was so attached to every job that I had. And I started working when I was 14, that the work gave me safety. I could rely on work. I could rely on looking after myself through working and saving money and working. And I was reliant on that. And to be reliant on anyone just felt so uncomfortable. So I guess my point in sharing this story with you is that even though you work on these core abandonment wounds and the self-abandonment patterns, they can still pop up. And when you do recognize that, when they do come up, these self-abandonment patterns I've talked about for today in this episode, and then I'm going to talk about another 6 in part 2. When they do come up still, recognize them, acknowledge them, and then heal them by doing the very thing that you're resisting. So I said to my partner, please do the graphics. And it's been such a blessing. He's done an amazing job. He's done so many other design elements, a new logo and branding and everything. And it's really self-healing to be able to overcome these self-abandonment patterns. So I'll finish sharing about this one. And then in part 2, there'll be another 6 to help you. And you've also got access to get my free self-empowerment toolkit, which will also help you to really clear these patterns and really love yourself from the inside out. Max that I worked with grew up in a household where independence was highly valued and emotional expression was discouraged. He was recognized and praised for taking care of himself. And this meant he became needless. Being needless led to low self-esteem, as the hidden subconscious message is, my needs don't matter, therefore I'm not as important. As an adult, Max found it difficult to depend on others or express his feelings. He handled every challenge alone, believing that relying on others was a sign of weakness. This self-reliance, while helpful in some situations, meant that Max struggled to form deep, meaningful relationships and often felt isolated. He wasn't able to experience true intimacy as he had walls up. To overcome compulsive self-reliance, it's important to recognize that your ability to rely on yourself is a strength. It's a skill that has helped you navigate challenges and risks independently. It's not wrong. It's fantastic on so many levels, but you also deserve to feel loved, to receive love, to be taken care of, to have others love you. Because love needs to flow. It's an exchange of energy. It needs to go in and out. And I'm really grateful for my self-reliance because I wouldn't be where I am today. And I'm grateful for the childhood that I had because I wouldn't be doing this work and growing and learning in this field. It's a real passion for me. Maybe I wouldn't have had that if I had a quote unquote normal childhood. However, most of us, even with such loving parents, such self-aware, present parents, we can all go through times where we felt lonely, where our needs weren't met in some form. These self-abandonment patterns can come up. And it doesn't need to be childhood, as I mentioned before. Any relationship trauma, any time in your life, when you've been in a relationship, a friendship, relationship with a family member, a work colleague, any relational trauma can lead to someone feeling abandoned and then lead to these 10 self-abandonment patterns that I'm talking about. So in order to overcome the self-reliance, start with small steps in asking for help. It could be something as simple as asking a friend for advice or a colleague for assistance with a task. It could be asking your partner to do things for you, which you could do yourself. However, it would be lovely if they did something for you. Begin to communicate your emotions and feelings with those that you trust. Sharing your vulnerabilities, sharing your intimate thoughts, sharing your fears, discussing personal challenges. Gradually allow others to become part of your life. This doesn't mean you have to become dependent on them, but rather open to the idea of mutual support and care. Practice vulnerability in safe environments. Share something personal with a close friend and observe how it feels. Reflect on past experiences where you may have benefited from someone's help. This can help to reframe your perspective on self-reliance. Develop a support network, even if it's small. Identify people you feel comfortable with and make an effort to connect with them regularly. By working on these aspects, you can start to balance your admirable self-reliance with healthy interdependence. This balance is crucial for forming deep connections and overcoming the compulsion to always go at it alone, a common result of a fear of abandonment. In the next episode, I will continue sharing the other 6 self-abandonment patterns that harm the self and impact relationships with tips to help you. More specifically, I will talk about compulsive perfectionism, compulsively distrusting everyone, compulsive hypervigilance, compulsive self-dysregulation, compulsive disassociation, and maladaptive daydreaming, compulsive choosing unavailable people, with tips, of course, to help you address these if you resonate with them. Learning about this is so beneficial, as awareness is the first step. Learning about this is so beneficial, as awareness is the first key to change. To help you further with this, I've created my self-empowerment toolkit. It has many different exercises, meditations, and tools to really increase your confidence, your self-esteem, to love yourself, be comfortable in your own skin, and be able to put yourself first, saying no to others in a diplomatic, kind, but firm way. I'll put the link along with the show notes. It's also available on my website. Do check it out. I've created it for you. I really hope that you get a lot out of it. I look forward to sharing the other 6 self-abandonment patterns with you in the next episode. Until then, I'll leave you with one of my favorite quotes from the Buddha. You yourself, as much as anybody in the entire universe, deserve your love and affection. So go love and look after yourself more than ever before.
Dear listeners, today I celebrate you. You are among the few who actively nurture their love journey. It's an act of courage, an act of self-love. And if today's episode resonated with you, be a beacon for others, subscribe, rate, and review. Let's spread this love and wisdom far and wide. Craving more? Discover the free resources at nicolabeer.com. You can also find the links to helpful gifts in the show notes. Do also join our Relationship and Wellness Facebook group. It's a haven where we uplift, support, and journey together towards richer, deeper love stories. Remember, you have the power to craft the love story you deserve. Thank you for being with me today, and until next time, keep shining and loving with all your heart.